One of the things that I so appreciate about attending this church is that when Pastor preaches, Alay, Jamie, myself, whenever we minister, especially Pastor, he has a way of pulling together what we read in the Old Testament, what we see today, and then also what we see in the New Testament. And not a lot of people do that. I mean, there are people who do that, but they don't do it with the detail, the accuracy, and scripturally integrity that our pastor does, and I appreciate that. And I'm not saying that just because he's my pastor. I'm saying that because it's true.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because it's true. I am a person who truly enjoys when someone gets into the Word like Pastor does and opens it up for us to see it in ways that we haven't seen it before. And so that always blesses me, because what it does is it makes me want to go back and seek Him more and get into the Word more. We're going to begin tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's been something that has been on my heart for some time. And it really never kind of leaves, because when you understand how important, and I want to make sure I say this the right way, how important people like Pastor is to a congregation in terms of what he delivers to a congregation. A pastor can deliver messages that will edify, that will inspire us to get more into the Word, that would inspire us to give more ear to the Holy Spirit, or a pastor can be a person that says, follow me. You don't have to worry about doing too much of anything else, but just listen to me and you won't go wrong. I know that's a big generalization, but it still happens far too much in the church. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a verse we're very familiar with. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And that word expressly means clearly, distinctly. You can't miss what he's trying to tell you. Okay. So the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That word depart means to remove yourself. I mean, walk away. Stop. Ignore. All those sort of things. But the key thing to understand is you cannot depart from what you're not part of. So, some shall depart from the faith. Now, the question becomes, why are they departing? It tells us, because they are giving heed to seducing spirits, to spirits who are deceiving spirits. And not only that, they are giving heed to seducing spirits who, and doctrines of devils, okay, teachings of devils. That is why they are departing. Now, this is not something that happens very quickly. This is a process. Sometimes it takes years for this to happen. And I can think of a pastor who was over a church in Tulsa. And over a period of time, he began to believe there is no such thing as hell. That all of us were going to heaven. Over a period of time, he began to believe that because of what he said he was seeing in the Bible. Okay? And that's why I made the point off the bat of talking about pastor, because you cannot keep the Bible as a whole and believe that you're going to go to heaven regardless of how you live. Okay? You can't do that. You have to keep the Bible whole. And especially when you're talking about things like that in context. Okay? So they have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so, like I say, it doesn't happen immediately. It happens over time. over time. Okay? I want to read that verse from the Amplified. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter time some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Doctrines that demons teach. And one of those doctrines that demons teach is that if you are of the same sex, you can't get married. That's the doctrine of demons. Okay? Another doctrine of demons, it says that if you are a boy and you feel like you are a girl, then you can become a girl. That's a doctrine of demons, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Another one. A doctrine of demons says that Barry, but if Barry decides that he wants to be a woman, Barry can be a woman. And you cannot disagree with that. That's a doctrine of demons. I would be an ugly woman. Okay? So that is definitely a doctrine of demons. I saw a short video clip on YouTube of a young charismatic preacher preaching to members of his congregation, and they were really young. I'm thinking about early 20s up to their maybe early 30s. And he said, and remember I just read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I don't beat nobody up for smoking, drinking, and having sex, and doing all of that. Not because I did it, but because I can relate. I can relate. If you ever notice, preachers who get up and beat people up for doing it, it's because they want to convict you into the presence of God. Condemnation pushes you out of the presence of God. And when he said that, people said, "Preach, preach, amen, amen, preach, preach." Remember, a young congregation. And then he says, "I'm not the Holy Spirit. It's not my job to convict you. I'm God's servant, and it's my job to relate to you." More shouts, more hand clapping. And if I can relate to you, now this is what gets me, ladies and gentlemen. This young man, he has charisma. He's nice looking. And so it's hard to get past seeing him to hearing him. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because you can see him, and then he's talking, and you are believing what he's saying because you see him and he's pleasing to the eye. Okay? So he says, "And if I can relate to you, I can pull you out of depression. I can pull you out of pain. I can pull you out of homosexuality. I can pull you out." You know what? I love my pastor. Okay? But whatever Barry's doing, pastor can't pull Barry out of it. Especially if Barry wants to stay in it. Right. And, you know, drinking and having sex and all that. If that's what Barry is doing, pastor can't pull me out of it if I don't want to be pulled out. I can pull you out. So this is why when I get calls and people say, "Do you know they're living together and having sex?" I say, "Yeah, and I don't care." He's a pastor. He's a pastor. He says, "Yeah, I don't care. Because I am your parent, your pastor, not your parent, not their parents. It's my job to cover you, not control you." Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. And the whole time he's saying that, the congregation is whooping and hollering and giving shouts of just reinforcing what he's saying. Okay? I understand the notion of relating to people, but not because I did the same things. For example, I have never taken an illegal drug. Never. Now, does that disqualify me from talking to someone about Jesus who has? I have never been drunk. Ever. Does that disqualify me from talking to someone who has? If the whole thing is built on relating to that person, I can't relate. I can't relate. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus can't relate to the alcoholic either. Jesus can't relate to the homosexual either. Jesus can't relate to the person who used drugs either. Does that disqualify him from being their Savior? Praise God, it doesn't. This man was not a pastor, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a pastor. Okay? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is theopneustos, God breathed. Okay? And all scripture is profitable. First, what is the first thing Timothy says? All scripture is profitable. So we're talking about all scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is profitable. And it's profitable. Profitable for what? For doctrine. Okay? For doctrine. That's the first thing it's profitable for. For doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. That's what this book is profitable for. Doctrine, reproof, instruct, correction, instruction in righteousness. Okay? Why? That the man, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. A pastor uses the Bible, not his experiences, not his personal beliefs, to teach about sin, doctrine, to identify it in his flock. He rebukes them. And then shows them how to stop it. Correction. But we don't see that in this pastor. And I pray for him, because if he continues down this road, he is going to miss heaven. And the folks in his congregation are going to miss heaven with him. Okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, the disciples ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Okay? Matthew chapter 18. I was going to jump to verse 4, but let's just give verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, you know they asked him this question because they want Jesus to say, okay, you are the greatest, you are the greatest. You're not so much, but you're the greatest, you're the greatest. You're getting there, you're the greatest. That's what they want. They want Jesus to rate them. Okay? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Do you think it's an accident that Jesus chose a child? No, it's not an accident, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the first answer he gives them is that you're not in the kingdom yet. Okay? And the only way you can get into the kingdom is that you have to be born into it as a child. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Verse 6 is what I'm after. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That word offend means to lead astray, lead into sin, be a stumbling block, or the occasion of one's sinning. Does this word not describe that young pastor that I just told you about? He is offending his flock. Okay? What this pastor said is not all that uncommon. Turn to, and we're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, please. Not by a long shot. In Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going somewhere with all of this on the front end. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay? So what is Paul about to address? The people getting into another gospel. Well, what do you mean by another gospel, Brother Barry? A gospel that is different from the one that Jesus came and taught. Okay? Into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, those who are doing the troubling and those who are doing the perverting, I'm not going to stand here and say they're doing it on purpose, because we know that the devil deceives the seducing spirits. I'm sure there are some who are doing it on purpose, but I dare say that most of them are deceived. But though we, or an angel, verse 8, from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The long and the short of it, let him miss heaven. Let him miss heaven. As we said before, so I say again. Slow down, Barry. So say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What do you think is the status of that young man based on what we just read? He's accursed. He's going to miss heaven. But see, we have a God, we have a Father who's long-suffering. So he's going to give him time to repent. He's going to give him time to repent. But it's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. Many Christians are buying what ministers like him are selling. And the more they buy this altered gospel, the more spiritual darkness they're buying for themselves. And if they continue to buy, eventually the light of life that they receive from Jesus will be extinguished. And they will once again be in eternal darkness. What we see in the church was prophesied in 1965, nearly 60 years ago, by a gentleman named Stanley Frodsham, Frodsham. He was a personal friend of Smith Wigglesworth. He warned of the spirit of deception coming to those who did not hold fast to the truth of the Bible and who do not walk in holiness and righteousness. I'm going to share a portion of that prophecy. And if you'd like to listen to the prophecy, you can go to YouTube, type in 1965 prophecy, and it will come up. Okay? I want you to search the scriptures diligently concerning these last days. For the things that are written shall indeed be made manifest. There shall come deceivers among my people. We're talking 1965. There shall come deceivers among my people in increasing numbers, who shall speak forth the truth and shall gain the favor of the people. For the people shall examine the scriptures and say, what these men say is true. Then, when they have gained the hearts of the people, then and then only shall they bring out their wrong doctrines. They gain the hearts first, then the error follows. Look at Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" He's talking about when the end of the world. Okay, that's one of the questions they asked him. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Ladies and gentlemen, the only way you can take heed that no one deceives you, you have to know this book. You have to know this. Because if you don't know this, then you can be deceived. Okay? Jesus says, "We will know he's coming back when deceivers are causing the flock to form false opinions or beliefs about what he has taught. Some will deceive deliberately, while others will deceive by supplying incorrect information. I truly believe that most deceivers are in the latter, because they are themselves deceived. The prophecy says the only way we can protect ourselves from those teaching false doctrine is to search the scriptures diligently." And we see that in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, a verse that you've heard before. "And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Pastor hadn't said this recently, but in the past, he would tell us, "You listen to what I say. You hear the message, you go back through the message, you take your Bible out, you pray in tongues, because you need to know for yourself that what I am," and I'm really giving a longer way of saying it than he said it, because what you're doing is you're going to the Word and letting the Holy Spirit confirm what I am teaching. Okay? Confirm what I am teaching. And that's another thing that I have come to love and appreciate about Pastor. He is very upfront in making sure that the teacher comes first. It's the teacher that we're listening to first. Okay? This young pastor was not that way. He was not that way. And Pastor, I'm not gonna call on you again. But it is just, I just have so much respect for what you do. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We must understand and believe and be uncompromising in accepting the Bible as truth." You're in, well, we were in Matthew chapter 24. Let's jump down to verses 11 and 12. In verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Okay? That word iniquity refers to all forms of immorality. And guess where it is, ladies and gentlemen? In the church. In the church. False prophets will increase because what they teach will accommodate the sin in people's lives. Deception leads to compromise. Okay? Because when I looked at that, I said that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive. And then the word "and." "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The only reason, well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that the false prophets rise and deceive is because people are giving them an ear. They're listening to them. Okay? Deception leads to compromise. I want you to consider three definitions of the word compromise. The first one, to undermine or devalue somebody or something by making concessions. Number two, to settle a dispute by agreeing to accept less than what was originally desired. Number three, to expose somebody or something to danger or disgrace. We see all of these in the church today. Many are undermining and devaluing the Bible when they make decisions that go against its teaching. They are allowing society to make them cowards when they stay silent rather than loudly proclaim the Bible's truth. And even sadder is to see Christians acting like Adam. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he stood by and watched as Eve ate of the tree and did nothing. There are so many in the church today who are doing the same thing. They are standing by and watching as their brothers and sisters are deceived by wrong doctrine and put on the path to the lake of fire. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're still talking about this prophecy. And I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to lead into what I'm going to read next. And look at verses 13, 14, and 15. It says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Whose end shall be according to their works. When people who are living ungodly lives hear what they want to hear, that person is a preacher of righteousness. You follow me? Because they are not seeing what the truth of God's word says. They are taking the angel of light and making him a preacher of righteousness. They are taking this young pastor, and this young pastor is a preacher of righteousness because they agree with what he is saying. Okay? That does not make him a preacher of righteousness, but that's how he is viewed. "Therefore, I say that you should not give your heart to man, nor hold people's persons in admiration or adulation. For by these very persons, Satan shall gain entry into my people. Watch for seducers. Do you think a seducer will brandish heresy and flaunt it before the people? He will speak words of righteousness and truth and will appear as a minister of light, declaring the word." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, he's telling us you follow the doctrine. You don't follow the charisma. You following me? You follow the doctrine. You follow what they say. You don't follow how well they say what they say. You don't follow how interesting they make what they say, what they're saying say. You follow the doctrine. What does the Bible say? You follow the doctrine. "The people's hearts shall be won." W-O-N. "Then when the hearts are won, they will bring out doctrines, and the people will be deceived. The people shall say, 'Did he not speak thus and thus? And did we not examine it from the word? Therefore, he is a minister of righteousness. This that he has now spoken, we do not see in the word. But it must be right, for the other things he spoke were true. Be not deceived, for the deceiver will first work to gain the hearts of many, and then shall bring forth his insidious doctrines. You cannot discern those who are of me and who are not of me when they start to preach. But seek me constantly, and when these doctrines are brought out you shall have a witness in your heart that these are not of me. Again, they go for the heart first, and then the error follows. The deception follows. The ministers of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the word. His lips shall give forth that which is wholly true. There will be no mixture. When mixture appears, then you will know he is not a minister of righteousness. The deceiver speaks first the truth and then error, to cover their own sins, which they love. Therefore, I exhort and command you to study the scriptures relative to seducing spirits, for this is one of the great dangers of these last days. The minister of righteousness, as he says, speaks truth only. Last paragraph I'm going to read. I desire you to be firmly established in my word and not in the personalities of men. I desire you to be firmly established in my word and not the personalities of men. That you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. Do you see what the Lord was saying? People are going to be moved to unrighteousness because of the personalities of those in the pulpit, ladies and gentlemen. I will keep you in the paths of righteousness. Take heed to yourselves and follow not the seducing spirits that are already manifesting themselves. Diligently inquire of me when you hear something that you have not seen in the word, and do not hold people's persons in admiration. For it is by this very method that Satan will hold many of my people. There are so many preachers today who have names and who are respected because of their names. But ladies and gentlemen, you have to hold them accountable to what the Word of God says. You have to hold them accountable. I thought about that as we were worshiping, and it reminded me of something that I had ministered on before in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, when God was calling Jeremiah, in chapter 1, God says, you know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that word afraid is not afraid the way we think about it. God was telling Jeremiah, when I send you forth, it doesn't matter who I'm sending you to. It could be a king, it could be a priest, it could be someone with high rank in government. You don't pay attention to their reputations and their standing. I want you to speak my word. We're not seeing that today, ladies and gentlemen. We're not seeing that today. The primary reasons Christians are being deceived and living in compromise is repeated in this portion of the prophecy. Remember we read Acts chapter 17, verse 11, about those in Thessalonica who they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures to see what they were hearing was true. Unlike the Bereans, they have given their hearts and ears to false teachers. They accept what they hear and don't see the need to see if scripture left in context supports it. Do you remember the charismatic pastor? Do you think his congregation is truth checking what he's teaching? Notice I didn't say fact checking. I said truth checking. Are they truth checking what they hear? And ladies and gentlemen, you should be proof checking Barry. You should be truth checking Barry. Okay? I won't get offended. I won't get upset. Because especially if you truth check me and I'm off somewhere, tell me, and I can repent. Repentance is easy for Barry. Okay? Then they hold the person in higher esteem than they do the word of God. And Paul had to address the same issue with the believers in Corinth. And this is the last passage we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's verses 11 and 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ." So Paul was addressing the same issue in Corinth. The people in the church were following individuals and not following Christ. When there is deception in the camp, there will be division in the camp. The enemy of the soul continues to deceive and divide the body of Christ through wrong teaching and through charismatic personalities. We don't have to fall prey to Satan's deception, ladies and gentlemen. But we can't be complacent either. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "We must always keep our eyes focused on Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us to study the word and to do it on purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 that we read says that the entire Bible, from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 22:21, is given to us by God to help us grow and mature so that we can do good works for the kingdom. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says that when we speak in tongues, we are having a personal conversation with our Father. All of these things, ladies and gentlemen, help us not to fall prey to the doctrines of devils. Let's end by repeating the first line of this last paragraph of the prophecy. I desire you, let's repeat this, I desire you to be firmly established in my word and not in the personalities of men, that you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. And let the church say, I will not be moved. Yes and amen. I think that one of the reasons that this message has been on my heart so much is because there are so many young people in the church who are being drawn away by the charisma of the pastor. They're being drawn away by all of what they see and they hear, and not necessarily drawn to what the Bible says. And I understand that is how Satan works. He wants us to be, our senses to be so stimulated that we don't really pay attention to what the Bible says. So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, it's not how exciting the Bible is. It's about the truth that the Bible contains. Because if you're looking for excitement in the Bible, Satan can easily sway you from finding it. But when you're looking for truth, then you got the Godhead on your side fighting to help you see it.